want to talk to you today about God's purpose for prayer. Well, what a weird subject. Everybody knows what the purpose of prayer is. No, you don't. You don't know what it's about. You don't know what caused it. You don't know that there was a day we didn't need it. We don't know these things. You know what a lot of people think prayer is? Something you do that sometimes makes you feel a little better and occasionally get shocked with an answer. Oh, well, you know, when we first began our ministry, we had a very narrow understanding of prayer, but it was enough to produce miracles. Now, I want you to understand this. This work was built by miracles. And God answered prayer after feeble prayer. We didn't have to know all about prayer, but God expects us to grow because He has a work for us to do, and He will wink at a lot of things in the early days, but His winker won't keep on going. You have to come to the day where you really become co-laborers with Him. God taught us to pray anyway, and He called us to become a house of prayer. And that meant that God would fill our hearts with His vision. It would be so great that we could only do it as He empowered us. We cannot do this unless the Holy Spirit empowers us. And we understood that prayer was the way to His power. So we learned how to pray for miracles of every kind and breakthroughs of provision that His work could be established. He also put a desire in our hearts to see people saved, healed, and delivered as we saw the great need of people. And we yearned to be able to pray so their prayers would be answered and people's needs would be met. Lord had a plan that we could never have imagined in 1973. In February of 1980, He sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, not just to cause a meeting to be exciting. He came and took over. It brought deep repentance and cleansing and changed us. And the Holy Spirit continued with us and taught us to pray and to worship. He raised up a Bible school with students from many nations, which we trained and equipped to go back to their home countries and plant ministries in the power of true prayer and worship. The Holy Spirit drew us into corporate prayer every morning and evening as He came in 1973. In 1980. And we continued to pray that way for 3 months. This is called revival. And when that great wave of the Holy Ghost revival somewhat subsided, the watermark of that great wave was the prayer and worship ministry that was created by the Holy Ghost and continues to this day. We didn't start it, and nobody can finish it. It's not a way of doing things. It's the power to do it with. That's what He gave us. In nations all over the world, the prayer ministry in churches is very strong and prominent in many, many nations. In most American churches, there has not been gained an understanding of what it is to have a prayer ministry or to be a praying church. And I want to share with you today how we can break out of the deception of prayerlessness in our churches and become true houses of prayer. I want to answer this question, what is prayer? I've observed in a general sense that the enemy has clouded the reality of prayer, what it means. Prayer has become almost a sentimental concept. I did have a chapter in that book called Prayer Changes Things, but that's become a very trite saying. It's not a bad book, by the way. It's the only book I ever wrote that it took no effort. One of the chapters is written by me and the rest by 9 other people. A sentimental concept that sometimes gives some kind of a feeling and other times causes something to happen and we're just so shocked. We applaud people who pray and honor the great prayer leaders of church history. But the enemy keeps us from knowing what it is and what it really means. Therefore, it's not the living, everyday part of our lives which God intended. Now, Jesus said, I want to try to see if I can give you a broader understanding of these things, so just kind of hold on. Jesus said, men must always pray and not faint. Luke 18:1, that means more than occasional ejaculatory prayers. He gave us what we call the Lord's Prayer as a model of what is important to pray for. The psalmist and many others mentioned throughout the scripture prayed morning, noon, and night, saying, I will lift up my hands as the evening sacrifice, and early will I seek thee, O God. In Isaiah, God said he himself put watchmen on the wall to pray day and night and give him no rest until he established Jerusalem. Jesus also told us that we must be persistent in prayer if we want to get answers. Some people say, well, I prayed and nothing happened. Hello. And it won't happen unless you keep praying. That's what prayer is about. And don't let people tell you don't have to pray more than once for something. That's just a fond dream. We'd all like to be lazy. But we got to stay in there and pray, and that's what it's really about. The scripture makes it clear we really should start our morning with prayer. We should end our day with prayer. Did you know that the disciples continued with the three times of prayer every day that the Jewish people had? The disciples continued with that. Remember at the hour of prayer, Peter and John went to pray to the man on the way? And they were on their way to prayer as they went. They continued in prayer. Prayer is God's way that he gets things done in earth. Oh, you mean he doesn't just get up a council of angels and they discuss things? And no, really not. Because you know why? He's turned the dominion of the earth over to us. And although Adam ceded it over to Satan, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, came and restored everything that the first Adam gave up. And so now it is our responsibility and it is our privilege to take dominion over the earth, which is what Adam and Eve were doing before they disobeyed God, all in their hands. And they didn't even have prayer like we know it today. They just communed with God in the garden. They didn't have to learn the entrance in. They didn't have to speak in tongues. None of these things had to happen. They just communed with God and dominated everything until they got disobedient. So now God has given to us this wonderful privilege. And it's his way to get things done. Things don't just happen. You know, a long time ago, Jack Hayford. The reason I can never remember that, Joan, is because in my notes it has Jack K. Now, Hayford begins with an H. Now, I want you to remember that. Jack Hayford, a long time ago, wrote that we either pray or we leave it to the snake. Because Satan is now called the god, little g, of this world. And all the world, the scripture says, lies in wickedness. Now, Jesus gave all that back to us, but we don't take it unless we enforce the victory of Calvary. And we do that through prayer and worship. Prayer is the opportunity that we have to be in the presence of God. It's what prayer really is. He lets us come into his presence. And he will bring us before his very throne of grace. And he has promised that he will hear us. He will listen to our prayers. And he will hear us. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. And we come boldly by the blood of Jesus. And if I'm covered by his sins and my sins are repented of, I have nothing to be ashamed of. It doesn't matter if you're not worth much or if you think you're not worth much. His blood is worth everything. I come boldly by the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, when I ask this question, first of all, I said, what is prayer? And I want to say, why must we pray? Because the pastor said we should. because my mama made me before I went to bed at night, because I get scared if I don't pray. When Adam and Eve were communing with God in the garden, it was not prayer as we know it. And 2 Corinthians 4:4, as I've already said to you, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God. Scriptures teach us that Satan is the God of this world, little g, and the whole world lies in wickedness. Because God has given us dominion and restored it through what Jesus did, it is our responsibility to overcome the works of darkness. That's why we must pray. We mustn't pray to feel good about ourselves. Oh, you know, I just don't feel good if I don't pray. Well, good. I hope you keep having that experience. It's just God helping to stir you and remind you what you really need to be doing. Jay, I want to come down and talk to these people a minute, because they're responding pretty good. I think we can get pretty far today. This is encouraging. Jimmy, it was so good to see you leading worship today. Now, prayer, let me just insert right here. Keep that arm down, Jay. Let me insert right here that we're all pretty sure that we need to pray because we need God so much and we need Him to do what we have to have done. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. And we've found that He will hear and answer our prayers. And you know, God has left this up to us. Not left it up to us. Let me say, He has given to us the responsibility and the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. Now, seeing Jimmy there this morning, I've prayed a lot for Jimmy the past days. I hope you have. I hope your morning prayers don't end before you really pray for Jimmy, because we're believing God to pray him out of this place of weakness into all that God has for him to do. Do you know that when David was the sweet psalmist, the singer of Israel, Saul was a type of the devil. And Saul really tried to kill David because he was jealous of him. Threw a spear and he walked away that day and saying, Saul's in a bad mood today. I want to tell you something, the devil's always in a bad mood. And God's always in a good mood, regardless of how he's been pictured to you. He's not the one keeping blessings from you. And when I saw Jimmy standing here today, I was just thinking, this is a sweet singer in Israel. Israel is the church in the New Testament. And Satan gets out his big javelins against Jimmy. But we declare today in Jesus' name, every javelin will miss its mark. And the wonderful power of the living God will strengthen him all over his body. And his arteries and veins will be restored. And everything the enemy has tried to do against him will be stopped for the glory of God. We agree together in Jesus' name for victory. Thank you, Lord. That's why we must pray. And I want to give you this wonderful testimony. John, several days ago, John had this little thing that has happened to him a couple of times, but John had been making really good progress and has been able to walk more than he had been before and feel better in other ways as well. And so he just had this little thing that happened to him, and he had a little difficulty, and then after that he could get up out of his chair, but he wasn't able to take the steps and walk. And with Don going out of town, I brought my panic to the Lord. So we were working on perhaps lining up people to help John. But with all my heart, I was praying. And here's what I thought I was supposed to pray. Devil, you cannot rob John of the progress he has made. We resist. Did you know that the devil's job is to resist us? And that the Bible says our job is to resist him. And you're not going to resist him being passive and saying, well, que sera, sera. No, no, no. Things don't just happen. It's up to us through prayer, letting the Holy Ghost give us revelation, that we bring down the strongholds of the enemy. And this is the way that I kept praying for John and others. And did you know that we had ourselves a little system that we were going to try to use to fall back on? And one morning, we got John up that morning, and after a little while, Joan came in where I was praying, and she said, "John has gotten up and gone to the bathroom and gone back to his chair." I said, "Well, that is wonderful. Lord, increase that, increase that, increase that, increase that. Ability to walk, strength to stand." And you know, when he when it was time to go to bed, we had someone there to help us. We'd called Mike to help us, but we told him that what we're going to do is we're going to let him walk as far as he can, and you'll be there with the wheelchair if he needs it to take him to bed. And when he got up, he said, "I think I'll just walk over to my bed." And it's about 30 feet. He just walked from his chair over to the bed. But that's not all. The next day I said, "Do you remember how you walked and just made a breakthrough yesterday?" He said, "Yeah, you know what? My legs felt strong." I thought, mercy, he doesn't use language like that. Let's give God a hand. We can't do life without God and without prayer. We just cannot do it. The Lord taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." He said that every time we cast out devils by the finger of God, the kingdom of God has come near us. The watchmen that he set on the wall of Jerusalem were put there to call on God, to intercede until Jerusalem be established in the earth. He told them to keep on praying and not be silent until that work be done. The enemy's favorite word is silent. Oh, I know. Every now and then in the scripture it talks about silence. And scripture says there was 30 minutes of silence in heaven. That's out of eternity. Not a lot of time. No, silence is not something wonderful. We've done that all our lives. We sat silently in church and let the devil ride over our heads. Now it's time for God's people to arise and to declare and to decree and to call on the name of the Lord. I find that the two of the things that God's people are most afraid of, and they should feel the most excited about, one is reaching out to souls and the other one is prayer. I mean, if you're with a group of people, suddenly there just comes lockjaw of some kind. I remember when I was in Argentina, Sergio Scataglini I was just in a class that he was teaching, and he had a book on how to reach out, how to win the lost, how to reach out. And he reached over and he got his gun, teach from it, and he said, "And now the book of terrors." We are so crazy. You can't win anybody to the Lord anyway, so don't be afraid of failing. Succeed or fail, or it's what we're called to do. It's the Holy Ghost that's going to do the work. And in praying as well, all you have to do is make that breakthrough. Just start praying something. Pray anything, but don't let the devil silence you. Intercessors are the most powerful people on earth today. Intercessors are appointed for the purpose of bringing God into the affairs of men. I promise you, that's the word of God. God will not intervene without someone praying. Now, there is a sweet and kind expression that says, more things are wrought in prayer than this world dreams. John Wesley said, nothing happens except God gives man the power to pray. In other words, nothing happens without prayer. It's not an occasional thing that happens. You don't know who's keeping you going. You say, "Well, sometimes I just get so rotten, I don't even pray." Okay, glad you got brothers and sisters that love you. They're holding you up. Because nothing's going to happen in your life without prayer. And if you don't pray it for you, somebody else has to pray it for you. Now I want to talk just a little bit about what an intercessor is. What is an intercessor? I had a person tell me the other day, oh, are intercessors a good thing? I heard they cause trouble in the church. The person didn't want to be called an intercessor because she thought there were people. I said, they might wear the pastor's not pastoring, but so does anybody else. If they're not pastored, they could cause trouble. You never know when the top's going to flip and you're just going to be a troublemaker. You've been so nice for a while, but something just didn't suit you. We pray for you all the time. We pray for each other. God is looking for intercessors. He's searching for those that will receive the revelation and hear the call. Reese Howell said, intercessors are not born. They are those that will heed the call. Ezekiel 22, 28 and 30 says this. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yes, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man. Look, God's looking for somebody. I sought for a man among them. Don't expect the sinners to pray for you. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. That means if he had found some, he wouldn't have to destroy it. Is God really like that? It's his way of prayer. It's not some way he is. The plan of prayer has been instituted. Now he's looking for people to be those that will take that up. Stand in the gap. Make it up the hedge. He couldn't find one person out of all those religious people. But he simply gave himself to pray. And that would simply give himself to pray and ask God to deliver and not bring judgment. Reese Howells made the statement, I'm going to quote him a few times in this because I just finished reading three books about him or by him, and they're extremely insightful. I'll be telling you a little bit about him. He said that intercession goes much deeper than prayer because it operates at a deeper level. Some situations will not yield to prayer. The devil is so deeply entrenched in the human life that prayer seemed to be unavailing. They had to take it a step higher, a step deeper, as you would say. And there are, you know, there are different kinds of prayer. And Reese Howells clearly said, I honor prayer. When I think prayer, I think answer. But there are times, he says, when prayer's not enough. And you've got to go into deeper realms. You've got to dig deeper. You've got to give more and identify with that person or that situation until you see a change. See, there are different kinds of prayer. Ephesians 5 tells us to pray with all kinds of prayer. Did you know that? All kinds of prayer. Well, I went over there and prayed, but they prayed this way. So what? There may be a million ways. We don't even know them all, right? I'm in places in other countries where they're praying and I'm scratching my head. I don't even know what it's about, but they get a lot more prayers answered than we do. So I just decided to sit with them and see what I can gain. There's petition, calling on God for your needs before him. There's devotional prayer where you commune with God and worship him and open your spirit just to hear his voice. Or just say, help me, Lord, I need you so much. Let me touch your mercies today. And there are prayer warriors who faithfully stand on the wall as watchmen, calling on the name of the Lord and disallowing the work of the enemy. Now, where there are no intercessors, the devil has a heyday. I don't care where it is. And the devil doesn't bother in a lot of churches because he kind of likes what they're doing. Doesn't cause him any harm, makes people feel religious. But when he gets a church that is really believing for God to put his name on the nations and all of the things that are to be done and to bring light where there's terrible darkness and where the poor have the gospel preached, when he finds churches like that, he gets out his spear and he starts throwing them at you and seeing how he can dissuade you. But there are prayer warriors who faithfully stand on the wall as watchmen calling on the name of the Lord, disallowing the work of the enemy so that God's purpose can be accomplished. You see, one reason God's purpose didn't get accomplished is there's not enough prayer to build a hedge and to bring a disallowance of the enemy to do the things that he wants to do. The scripture also speaks of travailing in prayer. I think it's Isaiah 66 that says, as soon as the saints travailed, the birth came forth. There has to come a deeper prayer. I don't mean you have to be loud, but you have to be deep. A lot of people can pray a deeper prayer just standing somewhere and letting maybe tears run down their cheeks as their heart aches over what they're praying about. It's that deep yearning and longing in the heart that touches the heart of God. God will never be impressed because you make noise. And there are times to shout. That's what the Bible says. There are times to make declarations and proclamations that should be done, loud enough that everybody can hear it. But just to pray a loud prayer is not to pray a powerful prayer. You're going to be helped today. I thought the Holy Spirit showed me you're going to be helped. The devil fought me. The scripture speaks of travailing prayer. Jesus himself prayed as if in an agony. Sweat was drops of blood. Jesus speaks of importunate prayer, when we will not be denied like the woman who came before the judge every day, every day, every day. And Jesus said, the judge will finally relent because she keeps coming. Hello. She will just simply come and say, Lord, do it for me. Over and over again, she asks. Well, I don't want, that gets a little boring. Well, it gets a little boring to be in a mess too, doesn't it? You better pray your way out of it. You better pray your way. I pray very often, Lord, get me out of this. I do. I say, Lord, lift me out of this mess and set my feet upon a rock. Give me a firm place to stand in this thing I'm going. Don't let the devil slap me around like this. Oh, I tell him exactly what it is I need. By the way, I don't kid and play with God either. He's joyful, but he's not silly. And I just want you to know that I rejoice in him, but he knows I'm praying life and death prayers when I come to him in that way. Now, there are two intercessors. I want you to know this. One is Jesus. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Think about it. At the right hand of the Father now, he is making intercession for us. Jesus is praying for me. He said, Peter, Satan has desired you and he might thresh you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, then you can strengthen others. Jesus had to pray for Peter. Jesus tried to get people to pray with him when he went to Gethsemane, but it was just so hard for him, they went to sleep. And it was his dying moments. The flesh isn't worth anything, but the spirit can energize us. One intercessor is Jesus, the other is the Holy Spirit. And those are the two that have the power to work and bring the answers to prayer. Our prayers aren't going to be answered because we talk. The Holy Spirit prays through us. Romans 8 promises it. In fact, if you don't know how to pray, good, you're biblical. You do not know how to pray as you ought. But the Holy Spirit will pray through you with groanings that cannot be uttered. That's in your Bible. I regularly say, Holy Spirit, teach me. I've prayed. Whenever it was a couple of weeks ago that Jimmy started having his trials, I said, Lord, teach me to pray. Holy Spirit, teach me to pray for Jimmy. teach me and pray your prayers through me. I'm your vessel. I can be available. And I'll pray what you tell me to pray. And with your anointing, we will see the breakthrough. Jesus is interceding for us all the time. The Holy Spirit prays through our bodies, through us. He's a spirit, you know. And he has to have a body to pray through. That's what the Bible says. Because our battle is not with flesh and blood. So now we've got the Holy Spirit to pray through us against the unholy spirits. Ephesians 6 says that our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and spirits without bodies. So you get another spirit, the Holy Spirit, working in you, through you. You can't fight those spirits with your flesh. It'll wear you out. And you won't be able to do it. You've got to get hold of this, that you must have the Holy Spirit to pray. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. But you see that these principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, that's what we need people praying night and day, and keep not silence and don't give him rest, because there's a spiritual battle going on in the heavenlies, principalities and powers. You might have remembered some of the things I taught you 2 or 3 weeks ago, that Duncan Williams says that he prays in intercession to get the devil to shut up and stop accusing. And that he prays against everything that's working now in any satanic womb. And he prays that that womb will be barren and that there will not be any possibility of that thing coming to fruition. Amen. Any satanic ideas, he comes against those. Any satanic plans, as we're praying, any satanic plans that are coming against our church, we say no in Jesus' name. And we say we resist the will of the enemy against us. And we declare the name of Jesus. This is his church. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, we declare that sickness does not have a place in this house or in us. We do not let the devil have his way. It's a spiritual reality. Only the Holy Spirit can get the intercessor in the path. This is Reese House. The best walk, and there must be faith equal to the intercession. He says only the Holy Spirit can tell you how to get into the path of prayer and how to go about this praying. We call that the spirit of prayer when we're praying. So when we're in our corporate prayer meetings, someone will start out praying some prayer, and then the others of us will join and pray our prayers. Now here, the Lord taught us to pray. The Holy Spirit himself taught us to pray, because we ran this work for 7 years without knowing how to pray. But he knew that, and he knew we were wanting to pray. So he helped us, and he sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit taught us how to pray. He taught us how to order a corporate prayer meeting. Now, here's the amazing thing. Long after that, I was reading about the revival of 1858 that covered America, the Great Prayer Revival. Did you know that they prayed in the exact corporate form and way that the Holy Spirit taught us to pray? We figured he liked that way. And so here's how simple it is. Now, I know that, and by the way, I'm not criticizing the way anybody prays, because people come from all kinds of backgrounds, and God hears our prayers, and he loves us, and he knows exactly where each one of us is. And please don't ever let the lying devil get you in this idea, these people around here, they can pray, I'm embarrassed. Stop it. Stop it. You just are where you are. We want new people to come in that don't know how to pray. Hello? You think we want the same old people listening to each other's prayers till Jesus comes? No, we want people incorporated. We want newer people to come in and to learn to pray. Many people have been added in with us and that learn how to pray. And so I want you to understand, I want you to know so you won't, because one man who'd been in church all his life said to me, I just can't get the rhythm of the prayer meeting. And I said, rhythm? People come up with more ideas to make something difficult. I said, there's not a rhythm. Here's how it goes. Somebody prays a prayer. People around you may be saying, amen, that's right, Lord. They're not praying a prayer so loud they're drowning him out. We want to hear what his prayer is. But we do want to agree with that prayer. And then as different people feel to pray in line with that prayer until the Holy Spirit has prayed what he wants to pray, then we continue to pray that way, you know, one at a time with the others agreeing. And then at some point, someone may change it to another subject. As we have our week of prayer and fasting, we will cover many vital areas like missions and soul winning and praying for our leadership. All of the different things that looking into this new year, we don't expect God to meet us unless we cover these areas with prayer. So we'll be specific. We'll pray for things. Things will be accomplished. We're not going to go just stand in a room and call out to God and hope that something happens at the end. We will know that we've had breakthroughs. And what happens is people get more and more excited. And it's really great how people turn out for the week of prayer and fasting. Is it 10:30 or 10 a.m.? 10, okay, 10 in the morning, but it's 6:30 in the evening to get people time to get there from work.
I put 10:30 in the bulletin.
I thought you did. Shall we make it 10:30 or change it?
10.
Everybody listen. 10. Everybody say 10. 10 in the morning, 6:30 in the evening, Monday through Friday. Come to as many as you can. You will be greatly blessed. And our purpose will be accomplished. The more people we have praying, the greater the channel is through which prayer can go. If one puts 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000 to flight. If you have a large group of people praying together, that's a larger channel through which the power of Jesus can work. Yonggi Cho taught me that. He doesn't know much, but he did pastor the largest church in America. If it had been in America, woo! We wouldn't have had prayer taken out of school and things like that. So, I know that there are people that think corporate prayer is going into a room and everybody just prays, and some of them just pray in tongues the whole time and then they get up and leave. Well, that's really not the plan that the Lord showed us and that I see in the Scripture. Because your prayers want to be heard, we want to agree with your prayer, but let the Spirit of prayer pray through you. Let the tears fall. Hey, please don't be afraid about crying. And by the way, if you don't cry, please do as the pilgrims and pray for the gift of tears. I don't pray hardly any time at all before I cried. I had an afternoon this past week where I prayed and studied a while and cried a while. That's the way I spent my afternoon. So good for you. Cleanses more out of your eyes than motes or beams, either one.
Yes, amen.
The Lord taught Rees Howells in his Bible school in Wales how to develop intercessors. Now, I don't have many more notes, so we're coming near the end, but I need you to really listen. Because now I want to give you a concept. I want you to come up in revelation from where you've been. I want you to start laying hold on this because we've got some things to pray through beginning now and looking into this year that's going to really need prayer power that's serious and devoted and educated. So, Rees Howells felt he had a mandate. This will blow you away. His mandate was to not relent for a moment or give up until the Great Commission had been fulfilled in all the earth. He personally and the intercessors around him took the responsibility to do everything within their power to do to get the gospel into the nations. That included his having a Bible school training and sending missionaries, building a place to keep their children, a lot of various things like this. And the amazing thing is that also he took the underwriting of that financially, personally. He took it personally. The money to be prayed in. Now, as I read it, you're talking about maybe 100. It wasn't many people at all that simply came and devoted themselves to pray. They were looking for, they called it the every creature vision. Go into and preach the gospel to every creature. And they wanted to see it happen in their lifetime. And they gave themselves with all their hearts to that. Now, the Lord would bring in amazing, supernatural, miraculous money. I mean, and sometimes large amounts of it. Same thing happened with the man who, China Inland Mission, whose name is Tudson Taylor. He prayed in. No mission board would send him. So he let the Holy Ghost send him. And he prayed in everything that he needed. And he opened up Inland China, the greatest work that was ever done there. And this is what Rees Howells was doing in Wales. It's a huge undertaking, huge. So, amazingly, at the time that Rees Howells died, which was in 1950, he started in the early 30s, I think it was, he was still able to leave $5 million to be dispersed throughout the nations for missions for any need there was. One of the things they would do is they bought tons of Bibles. And the Lord, he would pray and the Holy Spirit would lead him and tell him now what to do, now which country to work with. I believe it was the king of Ethiopia became personal friends with him and brought his family there to be trained and to be blessed. This is the kind of clout. But he was a very humble man. Oh, I'm talking absolutely humble. You know, we get our eyes off ourselves, set our affection on things above. Then we begin to see things happen in the earth. Now remember that God gave us prayer for the purpose of His getting things done on earth. It really wasn't for the purpose of our having what we want. Although He did say, I will give you the desire of your heart. So you're going to have everything you need, but the primary purpose is not so you can get everything you need. And when you pray and ask God for His blessings and to give you your daily bread and all that, you're just acknowledging you're a praying person that knows that you've got to stay in touch with God in order for His will to be fulfilled on earth. So he left, he dispersed. That $50 million, he left it to be dispersed for missions. They were credited with having prayed World War II back in the other direction and to see Hitler's demise and other warfare situations. But they didn't announce it. They believed in being hidden. But these were things, how they caused. The books are fascinating. Get a chance to read one of them. The difference, he said, between a prayer warrior and an intercessor is that a prayer warrior can pray for a thing to be done, and we want lots of prayer warriors, can pray for a thing to be done without necessarily being willing for the answer to come through himself. I mean, I want this to be done, Lord, but I'm not the one who has to personally see to it that it's done, but I'm praying, and I'm especially praying against powers and principalities, and I'm praying for the presence of God and for victory, and I'm resisting the devil because I'm a prayer warrior. And he said, but he is not necessarily being willing for the answer to come through himself, and he's not even obligated to continue until it's answered. But a prayer warrior is obligated to keep on praying. He doesn't get so personally wound around and involved with the thing that he's praying for. And yet he's a prayer warrior and he's standing on the wall. So when I'm trying to get you to understand about the different kinds of prayer. Just pray, will you? I don't believe God's picky about all this. We just found some words there in the Bible, and we just said, you know, God says these things about prayer. And aspire to be an intercessor, one that will really take these things in your heart. Now, before I finish here, I'm going to apply this right here where we are. An intercessor is one who takes the responsibility to pursue the answer actively, and he can never be free until he gains whatever he's praying for. He will go to any length for the prayer to be answered through himself. Now, that's what they did on a continuing basis in Wales, in the Bible school there. They just went to any length. They just kept on. They never gave up. They took it personally. It was going to happen, and they would do anything necessary to get it to happen. That was within their power. Rhys Howell's intercession that he held in his heart and his students joining with him was to support and pray through the needs of the world harvest. What? What a vision, huh? And that included training and sending missionaries and appropriating funds. He might just come out one morning when they're praying and say, now we have gained $80,000. See how many churches you can build in China. Back then it didn't cost near as much because you didn't have to get flyers or you didn't have to get in a special program or anything. You didn't, and you didn't have to have money to get there. You just walk or ride a horse or whatever. My lifetime intercession, now I'm talking, this is not Rhys Howell's. My lifetime intercession is the whole vision that God gave me and allow it to strengthen and expand into all God wants as the years go on. And from time to time, he allows the vision to work through a new wineskin as he gives us specific ministries to accomplish it. He's done that through the years. And it's time for us to release increased faith and commitment for a new wineskin, for this brand new harvest that God has got us in the midst of, that's coming in right at this moment. And this is how God works. As you maintain this intercession with me, the Lord will also give you personal intercessions, you. Maybe an individual, it might be, say, Jimmy, or some person really in need of healing, or maybe some terribly backslidden person who's away from God. And God will put that person on your heart. And you take that as a personal intercession. When you do that, you identify with that person, or you identify with that need, and your heart is a part of you. Yeah. And it's not just a matter of how's Jimmy today, because I've taken this personally. So when I don't know, I just text, how's Jimmy today? Then I know how to pray. And so then I know what direction to take. But to make it a living part of your life, just a living part of everyday life. It could be for a child who's away from God. I've seen parents have some heavy, heavy intercessory burdens for their kids. I wonder what kind of an intercessory burden my mother must have had for me. I think I told you, you're getting real serious now, I'll let you smile. I think maybe I told you that after my mother died, my sister said to me, Mother was always afraid you'd become an alcoholic. I said, why on earth? I'm not given to drink, even before I was a Christian. Well, just because you're just always around with just all different kinds of people, and she just couldn't imagine all the things that could be going on. But it was because my father was an alcoholic, you see. It was just kind of a fear. But she carried me in her prayers. And my mother never said to me, because she was an intercessor for me, and she never said to me, you can't keep living the way you're living, you know, you're going to go to hell. She never said anything like that. She always treated me like I was a nice person. In spite of myself. But she would every once in a while. She just so sweetly, how could you even keep from saying yes? She would say, honey, wouldn't you come to church with me today? It's hard to resist that. Oh, but the flesh is a mighty resistor. After all, it can't be king if it goes to church and might surrender something to God. Blessed be my holy name. We keep holding back, don't we? We just keep on holding back. So, I got into that story, and I've got to get back to where I am. I'm almost finished. So, you're going to be given personal intercessions, and I want you to... We're going to be talking more. I'm going to be teaching us more about intercession and how to work in an intercession. You'll identify with the need for the person or situation in such a deep way that you'll stand in the gap and make up the hedge to see Satan defeated in their life. So Isaiah 62, 6 and 7, let me end with this. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Where do watchmen on the walls come from? God sets them. God wants to set you on the wall. He wants to set you on the wall that surrounds his church right here that he's building. He wants to set you on the wall that surrounds the vision of this house. He wants you to get up on the wall and stay there. He wants you to be one that does not keep silence and that cries out to God, never hold their peace day nor night. Make mention of the Lord. Keep not silence and give him no rest. Lord, I'm not giving you any rest. I want to see the vision come to pass. The devil will not hinder us. He will not weaken our calling to prayer. He will not in any way interfere with our worship that comes up before you as a sweet-smelling savor. I stand on the wall today just to stand there as an intercessor so that Satan doesn't come in and wreak havoc. Do you understand? You've got to pray through the work of God. Give him no rest till he establish and make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And God raises up from time to time those who will stand on the wall and resist Satan. Or he raises up individuals like Yonggi Cho, who absolutely received the revelation and established a prayer ministry like the world has never seen before. On Friday night, in their Friday night prayer meeting, 2,000 people there, couple of hundred women sitting with babies on their laps, all night prayer meeting. They pray at gather for prayer 5:30 every morning. You might be more sincere about prayer too if you had North Korea right beside you. You know, they have an impetus there. Wonder when North Korea calms down, somebody's going to have to go inspire, because Yonggi Cho's retired. I pray that his successor is a man of great inspiration. But we saw that prayer could happen like this in a church, you see? And God raises up people like Reese House or Hudson Taylor and gives them a special gift of prayer. And I want you to understand something else here. One reason that some people aren't so given to prayer is that they just somehow think that there's going to be enough gifts that somehow everything will be taken care of, like sickness and what have you. It's not really like that. And what happens is, God has mercy from time to time, and there comes a sovereign move where he outpours gifts. It's an outpouring. He did it at Azusa Street. And he did it beginning in 1948. And Kenneth Hagin said, it was easy to get people healed in those days, that revival, that great healing revival. But the Lord had to remove that great strength of that because of all the corruption that came in it, because men did not hallow the gift of God. So don't get mixed up the fact there are gifts, therefore I don't have to pray. It's both. And you never know when God will raise up, even in this church, a wonderful gift of healing. Or when he would triple the power of some prophetic gift in our church, or discerning of spirit, or word of knowledge, or all of these different gifts are there. But we can't require them of God, because the Spirit gives them, as He desires, but we can make ourselves available. And when we find ourselves flowing in a gift, by all means flow in it. But don't think that the gifts will take the place of prayer. The Holy Spirit told me yesterday to say that to you. Don't think, well, there's a gift of healing now. We don't have to pray for people to be well, or to get well. Well, what if they don't get well? Because there's not a gift, are we going to let them die or something? Or do we know that prayer is what moves the hand of God? And the Holy Spirit is the one that teaches you how to pray. And it's the will of God for people to be healed. Therefore, if there's not a healing gift like that available, then what has to happen is that we have to find out how the Holy Spirit wants us to pray to bring that healing around. Did I say something wrong, Jimmy?
No.
Okay. Every now and then, when Jimmy turns like that and asks a question, I said something backwards, like, Satan loves you more now than he ever has. Okay, now I'm through if you are. But I'll tell you what. Next Sunday, this coming Sunday, when I think a big part of the people will be back, I'm going to minister again on prayer and pitching toward our week of prayer and fasting. I'm going to talk some about fasting. I don't want anybody in here to think fasting is negative and you're afraid. I bind that spirit. Fasting is not negative, and here's the thing. Fast the best you can. Some people have been fasting for years, and fasting is no big deal. Others are terrified at the thought. Well, skip one meal then. And those of you that can find an altered way to fast, sometimes maybe just fast a day then. Fast 24 hours if you can. But whatever, I feel that the Spirit has witnessed to me that He will honor your fast if you do the best that you know how. Don't go around feeling guilty and jealous of people who are fasting. And those of you who are fasting, don't be telling people what a wonderful faster you are. Some of you just have a better metabolism than others, that's all. I have done many, many kinds of fasting. I have done a lot of fasting in my life. Heidi Baker said she looked back and calculated that she had fasted half of her life. I think she's maybe moved into a little different place now. But I'm just simply saying, don't fast to impress God or to impress anybody. Don't even try to impress yourself. And those of you who haven't ever fasted, don't think you're tougher than other people. I'm just going to go ahead and fast a whole week. Please. But see how you do on a day or two. Or do some people fast really eating just one meal, like maybe in the evening. I'll talk to you more about that on Sunday. But I didn't want you to be put off by it or afraid and thinking that we expect it required everybody to fast. We don't. We just simply say fast as much as you can. Wonderful things happen in Jensen Franklin's church because they do a Daniel's fast, which basically means not eating bread or anything sweet or meat for 3 weeks. And I'll tell you what the sacrifice is in that. It's just not getting what you really want. It's very dull. It's probably not enough to make you feel really weak or anything like that, but it's a sacrifice. And I think the enemy has a lot of ways to tell you, I just don't bother. But pray about it and let the Lord speak to you about it. Let's stand together in His presence. I want to ask the Lord today for us that He will take us into other realms of praying and intercessions, and that He will empower our praying. Amen. That He will give us a conviction about prayer. But please, when you go to prayer, don't make it be a job. You know, but just come to the Lord and tell him that you love him. And if possible, let him produce some tears as you worship him a bit. And then pray to the Lord about getting ready to fast or pray or both next week. And I'm believing God to give us a great week of prayer and fasting. I believe this is a great week we're coming to because we're going to be preparing for it. And we had, if you didn't get here for the Sunday before Christmas, it was one of the most wonderful services. And it wasn't like professional and wow, how marvelous kind of thing. It was just from the heart, really worship to the Lord and different ones singing what was in their heart. And then Julie accompanied me in a antiphonal. There you go. In an antiphonal. Right. Got it. Where she sang a cappella, half of about four songs along with what I was preaching. And people felt that it was just wonderful blessing. It was just something different. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and do it. And now that the Lord has restored Julie, she was able to do it. How many of you know why the devil fights Julie and fights Jimmy and fights these people that are so anointed? They're not singers. They are anointed minstrels in the house of the Lord. It's a gift of God. Now, Father, we just come before you. We thank you. We thank you for everything. We thank you for giving us life. We thank you for your love. We thank you for victory. We thank you, Lord, for the church. We thank you that you establish your church and that you put watchmen on the wall to guard it so that we can continue to do the things that you have called us to do. Lord, give us ministries of intercession that will be powerful. And Lord, we can't do it, and I can't preach people into it, but the Holy Ghost can give revelation of the wonderful power of intercession, Lord, that we move into other realms and that we become prayer warriors that really give ourselves to you. Thank you, Lord, for all of the different kinds of prayer. And thank you that you let us come boldly before your throne of grace. Thank you, Lord. Lift us up in your spirit, we pray. And Lord, for every person that needs to be healed physically, either here or that is not here, any members of our body, we pray for a breakthrough from heaven. Just like when John, without even our knowing it, just got up and started walking. And I pray, Lord, more of that, more of that, more of that. Strong. Let people say they're strong because they're feeling strength. Now the weak are saying that they are strong. We declare in this place we're strong people according to your great mercy and grace. Lord, we call on the name of the Lord to give us strength to step into the new day that you set before us, to reap in this mighty harvest. Lord, equip us and prepare us so that it shall be a great ingathering for the praise of your wonderful glory. We thank you, Lord, for being with us during this season, and we thank you for the new year that we're looking to, Lord. Help us to get everything together for our week of prayer and fasting. And anoint us, Jesus. We declare this is going to be a great week. I thank you, Jesus. You know.